Mutual presents Arch Obler's Plays. The Mutual Broadcasting System has the pleasure of presenting the fifth broadcast of a special 26-week series of plays by radio playwright Arch Obler. In this series, we hope to bring you dramas full of the excitement and the meaning of plays told in relation to the expanding world in which we live. The play will be introduced by Arch Obler.
The time, in a not-too-distant tomorrow. The place, a New York steamship pier where a great luxury passenger liner, crowded with eager vacationists, is about to set sail for its first trip to a Europe at peace.
Boy, do I wish
I was on that.
Ellie?
Yes, dear.
Clouds at the pier, confetti. It's the real thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Darling, all these years we faced problems. I mean, don't you think we'd better... Well, I mean the children. And to them, this trip is just wonderful. Fun and adventure. We can't let what we feel spoil it for Larry and Margaret, can we?
I won't spoil it for them, dear.
Thank you, dear.
Mommy, Pop, come on, quick, you'll miss it.
Miss what? We were on this boat, Maggie, remember?
Oh, Papa, don't stand there arguing with me. Oh, Mama, come on.
Margaret, don't pull at me. Where do you want us to go?
Pictures, moving pictures.
Are they showing motion pictures already? I thought that...
No, Papa, they're not showing them. They're taking them. Oh, come on, Papa, Mama, hurry.
Wait, Margaret, really. Your father and I aren't that beautiful. Why don't you get your brother?
That's an idea. Let Larry be your leading man.
Oh, him. He hasn't got time.
Eh?
What? He's down on the pier with three of his women crying all over him.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Mama. Hurry, Papa.
No, Margaret. Better stay here.
Mother.
No, there won't be any more pictures. Really, look. They're taking in the gangplank.
We're on our way to Europe. At last.
You don't like deck tennis very much, do you?
Why do you say that? Well, she won, didn't she?
No, I'm serious. You didn't get much fun out of playing this game, did you?
My wife's been under a great deal of nervous strain.
Oh, I'm sorry. I talk too much.
Seems to be getting rougher out there.
Yes. I must say I'm glad that we're all such fine sailors. Especially my wife, considering all the traveling we've got to do yet.
Oh, aren't you going to stay in Europe a while?
Well, according to John's plans, Europe is just a way station.
That's right. If not for a little business I have to do in London, China would have been our first stop.
We certainly are a travel-hungry nation.
Travel, nothing. Business. Yes, sir. I'm going to open a branch factory in central China.
Well, that's mighty interesting.
And very welcome news to the Chinese, I suppose.
Yes, I hope so.
Well, my husband's a little concerned about the reception he's going to get in Chongqing.
Well, I'm sure that if they see benefit in your plan for their own people, you won't have much difficulty.
Well, I hope not. You know, when I think about it, I get as nervous as...
Oh, now, John.
No. Let me say it. I am nervous. I guess it's because I really want this factory of mine to happen. You see, I made money during the war. It kind of happened in spite of myself. But I want to use that money in a way that'll mean something. I look around me and everybody's got a plan and a scheme and an idea for keeping this one world. But all my abilities are in making things for less money on the production line. So I figured that if starting with the Chinese, I can give people things that will make their living cleaner and easier. Well, maybe that'll be all right.
I'm sure it will.
Thank you, Mrs. Barton.
That wind's so cold. I think I'm going low.
No, wait for the boat, Mary. That'll warm you up.
Yes, it ought to be along any moment. All right, but it better hurry.
Talking about business, you know, I've come to the conclusion that about 99% of the people on this boat are headed overseas to grind some sort of an axe. Branch factories like myself, or diplomats, or... How about you, Bob? Perhaps I ought to ask your wife. The way to find out everything about me is to talk to Mary, so... How about it, Mrs. Bott? Your husband off to cut himself a slice of the future?
No. Nothing like that.
What's this? What's this? Two people on board actually going on a pleasure trip?
The wind. You were right, Mrs. Hyland. It is very cold. Would you please excuse me?
This darn packing. And the lights go on again. All over the world. Maybe I could get the steward to... No. No, I've only got $3 left, and I'll need that... Now, where the heck is my blue shirt?
Are you doing something, Larry?
Huh? Hey, small fry, look, this is my cabin. How did you get in here?
I walked in. What you doing?
Go away, will you? Hey, sis, that's my hat you're setting on.
Are you getting off the boat when it stops?
If I ever get packed, now go away, will you?
I'm not getting off.
Sure, sure. Mama and Papa are giving you away to the captain, and I don't blame them. Now, will you please go away? We're landing any minute, and I've got a pack.
You want to know why I'm not getting off?
No, but you're going to tell me anyway. Doggone suitcase.
You want to stay with me?
Huh? Stay where?
What do I want to go to London for? I'm not going. I'm not.
Okay, so you're not.
Do you want to stay on the boat with me? I got lots of things to save up. Do you want to, Larry?
Look, small fry, well, what's the matter with you? Why do you want to stay on the boat?
On account of I'm scared.
Scared? Scared of what?
Money. It's terrible, Larry. The bombs and the wind.
No, no.
Oh, no. Larry.
The war is over. There's no reason to be afraid. Why, London's like home. It's...
Larry, what?
Hey, look out the porthole.
Larry, they're pulling us in. The tugboat's over in England. Come on, hurry.
But you just got through. Okay, confusion. Come on.
Sally, this is what you might call a momentous moment.
What, this cab ride?
Well, the first time since we left New York that our daughter and heiress has kept quiet for 5 straight minutes. I suppose it is all rather breathtaking. You come over here expecting to see ruins, and you see a city where everything is completely normal.
Yeah. Whatever became the Blitz? Hey, driver, is there any Blitz around here?
What, say?
I say, the Blitz. Any sights to see? You know, left over from the bombing?
It's all around you.
Where?
We don't see it.
Every place is nothing standing. That's where it was. The Blitz. Well, here we are. Hyde Park. That's the ticket, eh, sir?
Yes, fine. Well, this is it.
It's a pretty park, isn't it?
It looks cold.
What's the matter, son? Rheumatics?
No, short underwear. Ah, thank you, sis. Just for that, I'll personally take you by the hand and find you a British cow. Come on.
Silly, there aren't any cows here.
Faith in the girl, have you no faith? You coming?
Okay. Don't get lost.
We'll be back with a quart.
Here you are, Kevin.
Well, now, sir, thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Good luck, player.
Sally, look. The Hyde Park Open Air Forum. What do you know? I should have thought that's over with.
Why? There's never an end to arguments.
Yes, not.
Well, come on. Let's go over and listen to the latest on arts, philosophy, religion, and the battle of the peace.
Oh, no, please, dear. Huh? No, I'd rather go sit by the water.
Sure. Whatever you want, dear.
He doing?
What we are? Sitting and looking at the water? Why?
He hasn't moved.
No? The English are amazing people, all right. All those streets we saw today. Now, what is the name of that narrow one?
Fleet Street.
Yes, rebuilt. Everything's spick and span. You'd never know what had happened.
Not in the streets.
Hey, are those kids playing baseball?
Cricket.
No, that's baseball. Well, our boys did bring civilization with them.
Jay, I'm going to speak to that boy.
Huh? Why? Small boy wants to sit there. Why shouldn't he?
Because it's unnatural. Why isn't he playing with the others?
Well, if I have to guess, he drops fly balls, or he's too small, or his mama won't let him.
Boy, can I talk to you for a moment?
Oh, Sally.
Mind if I sit down here, boy? You see, I'm from America. This is my first day in London. I would like to talk to you. Is your name Charles? Edward? Must be a very large name to be such a big secret. What is your name, boy?
Well, how's your young friend, Sally? Is he a flyball dropper, or a mama won't let me type? Or just a plain introvert?
Don't quite know. He hasn't said anything yet.
Hiya, son. How'd you like to have an ice cream cone? Well, I guess he just won't talk.
Jay, I know.
What?
He's frightened.
Huh?
Look at his eyes. He's terribly, terribly frightened.
Yes.
Is something frightening you, boy?
Son, is there something wrong?
Please tell us. We'll help you.
Yeah, tell us, boy.
Does someone want to hurt you?
Yes.
Who?
Tell us.
At night?
Yes.
At night?
What happens at night? Whatever it is, we can put a stop to it.
Nobody can stop it. Nobody. Never.
Never. Hello there, Jimmy. Well, I see you've made friends.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, no, don't bother getting up, sir. I've come for Jane. Have you been friendly?
Well, not exactly. I saw him sitting here so quietly, I couldn't resist the impulse to talk to him. Are you his mother?
No, I'm Miss Stanley. Jimmy, would you mind getting my things together from under that tree?
Yes, Miss Stanley.
I can see from your faces you've been wondering about him. There's only a few seconds because he shouldn't hear this. So I'll say it quickly. You're Americans, aren't you?
Yes,
we are.
How fortunate you are that none of your children... He's coming back, so I'll say it quickly. Jane's mother and father were killed during the blitz. For almost 6 hours, the child was buried alive. The shock of what happened is still with him.
Oh, how terrible this was then for the children.
No, not for all of them. You hear that? In a peculiar way, they're somehow better off for having been born in a world without peace. They quickly learned that the world was a place where there was danger. But they learned, too, that there were those who would try to help them. They learned a strong sense of companionship with other people. They learned how to go without, how to make the best of things. They're not timid children. They're not helpless children. They're strong young people who learn to think for themselves. Well, thank you, Jane. We've got to say goodbye now. Say goodbye to your friends, dear. All right, I'll say it for you. Goodbye.
Will he be all right?
We hope so. It may take some time. But he's so very young.
So very young.
Yes. We older ones can somehow will ourselves to forget. Well, goodbye.
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 Jay, let's find the children and go on.
monsieur?
What? Oh, Ellie, you talk to him.
Nous attendons un gentilhomme qui s'appelle Professeur Drummond. Nous sommes sans hôte.
Monsieur Drummond, s'il vous plaît.
What's up? Do we follow him?
Yes. Come here, Larry.
Gosh, Mom, you sure can't talk French.
Vive la high school.
Gosh, is this something or something?
And Sally, don't you think we should have left Larry at the hotel with Margaret? Oh,
don't be silly. It'll be a wonderful experience for him. This is a restaurant, not a nightclub.
No, I don't know. Gosh, that waiter's making a mistake. That table, that's not the professor.
I don't know.
Bartle, madame. How good to see you. And this is your son. Sit down, sit down.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You do not recognize me.
Why, yes, of course we do.
Oh, we'd have known you anywhere.
The concentration camps, the war, the years. Faces have no more permanence than life itself. Do you remember that dinner at your home? The Sheik Ruber had just come into Paris. I was not a very good guest, I'm afraid. But now, you are here on the world scene again, and we will eat and drink and talk about America. Tell me, why were you so anxious to come to Europe that you took the very first passenger boat? And what are your plans from here? Mariana. I am sure the young man would like to hear Mariana sing. She was a great favorite with your American soldiers. I knew you would like her.
She is very good.
Sure is. And very brave. All during the time when the safest way to remain a live Frenchman was to become a good German, Mariana refused to sing another note. To say no to La Boche meant that life became very difficult. So, we listen now to her voice with added enjoyment and appreciation. It is a voice which has never sung in shame for Nazi breath. Now then, I was asking you a question. What was it? Oh, yes. Why you are here? Oh, but wait, this is not all of your family. Was there not a small girl?
Yes. Margaret, she's asleep at the hotel.
And an older son? Yes, of course there was. He used to drive me to the university in that horrible apparatus he called his... what was the word? Yes, jalopy. Yes, where is your eldest son?
That's why we came here. To bring him back.
Back?
He died only a month before the end.
But that is not possible. He could not have been a soldier. When I last saw him, he was no older than this one. Oh, my friends, forgive me. I too have forgotten the long years since we were last together.
Tell us about yourself, Doctor. You went to North Africa and then we no longer heard from you.
Well, after North Africa, events moved so quickly there was time only for work. I did what I could. But America... You tell me of America. Is she proud of her victory? Is she sure of what there is yet to do? No. This is not a night to talk of that. This is not even, as I thought, a night for wine and good food and music.
David liked you very much. He always talked of coming to Paris someday. France was so filled with confusion, Doctor. What have your people now? What have they learned? What is ahead?
Pain and suffering are supposed to be great teachers for the future. Yet sometimes they teach a hatred and bitterness which leads once again to confusion and errors of the past. You ask me what of my people now? I ask the question, what of the people everywhere in every nation where there was injustice... Long before the first Nazi bomb fell, or the first Nazi soldier strutted in sadistic triumph. The answer is in the people. For no matter what the scheme of government their leaders formulate, the answer to the future lies within the people themselves. Yes. Within the individual. If each within himself goes back into a predatory way of thinking, to get as much as he can, as quickly as he can, be it possessions or economic or political power, there is no hope. For a little while, there will be a false security. And then, once again, the hatred will pour over the boundary lines and our children will die. But, my good friends, I tell you this. I have hope, great hope, for a dangerous illusion is ended. My people thought themselves the sophisticated of the world. Now, in these terrible years, they have discovered they were not sophisticated. They were children. Yes. Children in their self-interests. Children in their unconscious cruelties to others through this self-interest. But I condemn my own too much. I believe what I said has been true of most of us Europeans. Now that is ended. Those of us who still live are no longer children of the world, but men and women, knowing as men and women should that our responsibilities go beyond ourselves, beyond our families, beyond our nations, into every home and every nation where men and women and children live as human beings. I give you a toast. To we who live, may we never again forget why we live.
More miles, Miss Barton.
Is it the only place?
No, ma'am. There are three American cemeteries outside of Berlin.
So many trees.
Yes, ma'am. It's in a forest. Must be very cold outside. They said it was 10 above this morning on the Wilhelmstrasse. Unusually cold weather. Captain?
Yes, Mr. Barton.
Will there be much difficulty in taking him home with us?
No. It'll be arranged.
It was good of you to come with us.
He was a good soldier.
Yes, we know.
Only a short distance now.
Do you think the children are cold up there?
No, they're dressed warmly.
They're so quiet. Larry, everything all right?
Yes, Mother. Fine.
Margaret, are you warm enough?
Yes, Mama.
Allie, you're trembling. My coat, let me...
No. No, it's just that... We've come such a long way.
Sally.
I'm all right.
When we get over that rise, the trees will clear.
Will that be where...
Yes, ma'am.
Jay.
I'm right here.
Oh, Mama. Yes, Margaret. That's where we're going.
Oh, Mama. So many crosses.
Come, children.
Yes, Father. Come on, Margaret.
Margaret, close your coat collar.
Yes, Papa.
If I might lead the way.
Thank you, Captain. Larry, you take Margaret. Mother and I'll follow.
Yes. Come on, Margaret.
Larry, look. Some of them aren't crosses. They're stars. Look, Larry. Some of them are stars.
Sammy. Why are you walking so slowly?
Jerry, why aren't we alone?
What?
You and I to see our son. Why aren't we alone?
But they're our children, too.
David was my first.
Sammy, no. The children, they'll hear you.
The captain stopped. Can that be right?
I think it is.
Oh, my God.
Mr. and Mrs. Barton, he's buried here.
Lieutenant David Barton, 3rd Armored Division, born October 3rd, 1918, died.
Gee, Mom.
No, children, no. I didn't bring you here to cry for your brother. Margaret, look. trees are all around. Remember I told you David loved trees? Is it nice to be sleeping among them now?
I'll take her back to the car.
No. I want her to stay. Why should she be frightened? There's no reason for her to be frightened.
Mom, I'm not frightened. Just let me cry a little bit. Mom, just let me cry. Yes, darling.
Captain Henderson.
Yes, Mrs. Martin.
How soon could the arrangements be made?
Well, that's entirely up to you, sir.
Can we take him back with us on our ship when we sail on the 15th?
Yes, sir. I think it can be arranged.
We're going to bury him in our family plot. Next to my brother, Fred. Who's killed him? 18 in the Argonne. Cemetery in our town. There are trees there, too.
No.
What? What's there?
He'll stay here. I want him to stay here where he is now.
Sally. But, Mom, that's the reason we came to bring him back.
No.
What's happened all of a sudden? Don't you want him back where he belongs?
He was such a happy baby. Boy. Suddenly he wasn't happy anymore. I didn't understand it. I couldn't. Because all my happiness and unhappiness had always been about you, Jane, children, and the house. Always about things close around me. But David's unhappiness is about the world. So I couldn't understand.
What has that got to do?
I'm trying to tell you. These aren't going to be words which I've just thought of. I think I've known I was going to say them here for a long time. You said to me, don't you want to take him back home where he belongs? Where does my son belong? I've been thinking about that all the way here on the ship. All the weeks getting here, I've been thinking that. Where does my son belong? Can the answer be, where did my son go of his own free choice? He came here. No, he fought his way here because he believed that here was where wars could be ended. Here was where those who lived by the sword and the threat of the sword should die by it. And in their death, teach a lesson that would never be forgotten by others who listened to them. Don't you see, he fought to get here, our son. This was where he wanted to be. Why should we take him away now? What he fought for, it came true. Let him rest here. He's done his work. It's beginning to snow. David'll like that. Come, children, we can go back now. Come, Margaret.
Yes, Mama.
Larry?
Yes, Mom.
Take my arm, Jay.
Yes, dear.
We better walk fast. We're such a long way to go, and there's so much yet to do when we get home. So very much.
Just heard Arch Obler's original play, Holiday 1948. The original musical score was composed by Gordon Jenkins and conducted by Albert Sack. The leading roles were taken by Miss B. Benaderet and Mr. Norman Field, with Bill Christie, Rhoda Elaine Williams, Lou Merrill, Irene Tedrow, Joseph Granby, Mary Jean Croft, Raymond Severn, Bruce Elliott, and Terry Lee. Next week, we will bring you Mr. Obler's new comedy, Mr. 10%. The amazing, amusing story of a Hollywood agent who collects 10% of the salary of your favorite motion picture star in return for services rendered. This will be the sixth in a special series of plays written, produced, and directed for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Arch Obler. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.